This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're heading to Boca Chica, Texas. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black, and there is news about the approval by the federal government, the FAA in particular, but its attendant agencies, in the application for Starship to begin testing at Boca Chica. Bob, a very good evening to you. Is it positive news? Good evening.
Good evening, John. I actually think this might be positive news. Since December, the FAA has been delaying the release of its environmental reassessment of the Boca Chica site so that Starship could launch from it. It's been delaying that release month by month, and I've been predicting that they were going to delay it month by month till after the election when they would disapprove it and they would block Starship forever. That's what I've been expecting based on everything I know of the federal government, of the Biden administration, of the bureaucrats, of the growing muskete that is developing in the leftist community. That's what I've been predicting. This week, the FAA once again announced another delay. They were supposed to release this reassessment by the end of May with their last announcement. They announced they're delaying it again, but they did not delay it for a month. That's what makes this maybe good news. They delayed it for only 2 weeks to June 13th. That suggests that they really are very close to finalizing this and releasing it. Because if they've only shortened it by 2 weeks, they've shortened the delay to only 2 weeks, it means they really see them getting it done. I'm really hopeful that when they release this, it will be an approval, and we do have some evidence to suggest so. Gwynne Shotwell, CEO of SpaceX, had said in mid-May that they will be ready to launch in June, which suggested she had some inside information about the FAA procedures and maybe knew that they were going to be very close to approval in June. And so these factors suggest that Starship might make its first orbital attempt out of Boca Chica, Texas, sometime in June before SLS gets its dress rehearsal countdown completed, John. That's what it looks like right now.
At the same time, there is Sierra Club. The Sierra Club is a very effective and powerful organization. What is its ambition in Boca Chica?
Well, I think that it's very possible that the environmentalists who work with a lot of federal agencies to block things like Starship, they got inside word that it's possibly the FAA's assessment was going to be approved. And so this past week, a group of environmental groups led by the Sierra Club sued a variety of local Boca Chica government agencies for periodically closing the public beaches whenever SpaceX was going to do any kind of hazardous operation. They claim that these closures violate the Constitution of Texas, and specifically the law that was passed back in 13 that allowed for such closures. They say that violates the Constitution, and they want the courts to rule that they can't do this anymore. And so what I think you will be need to see here with this court suit is the environmentalists and the anti-Musk people are now shifting their attacks to the lawsuit realm, and that is something environmentalists have used for decades and decades and decades. They sue, they lose, they find another excuse, they sue again, they lose, they sue again, they lose, and they just keep finding minor legal issues to keep suing endlessly and delaying things endlessly. So I think so that's where the shift of the attack is right now. I don't know if it's going to have any impact. I suspect that even if it eventually does have an impact, if the FAA releases an approval in mid-June, I think that Starship will launch this June. That much, I think, will happen.
And this is the first Starship launch. This test, Bob, is of the big booster with 29 or 30 engines plus the Starship on top of it. Is that what we're waiting for?
That's what we're waiting for. It will be the first attempt to do the equivalent of an orbital launch. The launch, the rocket, the Starship won't quite circle the Earth because they want to bring it down specifically to the northeast of Hawaii's Big Island in the ocean, but they want to do it so they can get it and take a look at it, if it should get that far. Elon Musk did another tour of his site. I've got it posted on Behind the Black at Boca Chica and got some great video of him under and at this giant tower where they're going to launch. And he talks about how it's really, the odds of it succeeding are not great, and they're not worried about that because it's a prototype. It's not intended to be the final version. So anything that goes wrong just gets plugged into as a correction in the next prototype. And their plan, if they get approval to launch, is not to launch one and be done. They'll be launching quite frequently to test these and to upgrade them as they go. So you could see anywhere from, if I had to guess, somewhere about 3 to 4 launches before the end of the year if they get their approvals.
And, Bob, does this
each one doing more?
Does this test include using the chopsticks to catch the first stage booster?
No. No, the first flight, Super Heavy, is going to come down in the ocean in the Gulf of Mexico. That's for safety reasons. They don't want to try to bring it back because they're not sure how it's going to function with 2930. I think the count has changed, and I keep losing track. So with that number of engines, there's enough chance something will go wrong. So they don't want to take a chance. But they're using those chopsticks already for certain things, such as stacking the rockets at the tower. That's the whole point, use them for multiple purposes. We shall have to wait and see. They will test that eventually as they do frequent launches. That's the idea. You test, you figure out, you make it better, you test, you do more each test, and you get closer to your final concept, and that's the plan. Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Endeavour. What is the Endeavour capsule, and what are the questions?
Endeavour is one of the 4 capsules that SpaceX has in its fleet of manned Dragon capsules. And Endeavour was the one that took the totally private crew from Axiom up to ISS for a period of about 17 days. Well, there have been reports based on anonymous sources, it's very important to underline that, that the heat shield of Endeavour experienced, quote, dangerously excessive wear upon re-entry. And apparently, according to these anonymous sources, that occurred because hypergolic propellant, this is what's used on the attitude jets of the capsule, leaked into the heat shield, and that's what caused the excessive damage. The problem with this story that makes me question it is that NASA issued an absolutely blunt denial, saying without question, quote, there has not been a hypergol leak during the return of a Crew Dragon capsule, nor any contamination with the heat shield causing excessive wear. They were very blunt about this. And NASA will spin things, there's no doubt about it, and they will sometimes delay telling us if something's gone wrong. But they won't outright, if this had actually happened, if there's evidence of this, they wouldn't have outright denied it like this. They just don't do that. So we have to take this story with a bit of skepticism. And I know this sounds paranoid, but this story suggests that the claim might be part of that growing effort of people in the bureaucracy and in a lot of political circles to attack SpaceX, and that's because of their irrational hostility to Elon Musk. That could be a factor behind the anonymous sources. It could also be there's some issues, but I don't think there's any issues as serious as this, John.
Rocket Lab, Astra, Virgin Orbit, and more. Small sat industry aborning. Why, Bob? Why now so many?
Well, an interesting, about a week and a half ago, SpaceX launched a Falcon 9 carrying 59 small sats. This was their 5th such mission where they gathered together as many small sat commercial launches as possible and put them all on one Falcon 9 and launched them. And, well, they've done this now 4 other times. This was the 5th. But this 5th particular launch, a week later, the press releases coming from the various small small sat companies that launched were beginning to overwhelm me. And so I decided, let's put them all together because they indicate a trend that is really significant. The lower cost to launch has allowed small sats, such as CubeSats, to go up with greater frequency and be more sophisticated. And that is tied to the increased miniaturization and sophistication of increased miniaturization that allows CubeSats to do more. And so this particular launch, it had three different orbital tugs launched from three different companies testing or actually deploying CubeSats to their own particular orbits that the Falcon 9 could not take them to. It had a whole bunch of other satellites launched from five different satellite constellations, each one a different company, each one doing different things, from Earth mapping to providing global internet communication capabilities, to doing radar surveillance, climate monitoring, global communications for the Internet of Things. You also had a company that launched six satellites that had built for six different customers for different objectives. You know, this is a satellite company that builds satellites to order. You ask and they build. All this launched on this flight, and I'm not listing everything here. What this suggests, once again, is the lowering of cost to launch, not just from SpaceX, but from now this herd of rocket companies, cheap, small rocket companies, has allowed the CubeSat industry to blossom. And there's lots of satellites now going into orbit to do many different things because they can afford the cost. What that's going to mean is the lower launch costs has brought in more CubeSat companies, which brings in more customers for the rocket companies, which encourages more rocket companies, more innovation, more competition, which lowers the cost, which, guess what, makes more satellite companies appear doing more things, which lowers their costs, which in turn means more customers, and it goes on and on and on. And so this is really a future that is incredibly exciting, John. The only thing I worry about is things like these environmentalists screaming that they must stop SpaceX to save humanity. Those are the people that will block this, and it's those kind of people that I worry about, because their only goal is not to save any humanity, but to deny others the right to fulfill their dreams. If, for example, these many satellites, the space becomes too crowded, you don't have to pass a law to block satellites from launching. It's going to become a need that some other satellite company is going to come along to try to make money at 16, and that's what freedom is all about.
Let's talk about what does deorbiting mean, Bob? What is that challenge?
All right, so satellites eventually, you know, go defunct. They're no longer functional. Something goes wrong. They get old, or they need to be upgraded, and a new generation comes along. And so then you've got a defunct satellite in orbit, and at that point, it's equivalent to space junk. Well, some of these small sat companies are coming along with techniques for under control deorbiting the satellites. One of the satellite companies that launched on this Falcon 9 launch was Spaceflight, and Spaceflight has what it calls the Sherpa AC tug. And this tug deploys satellites and provides them power and supplies. Another company that has launched from Falcon 9, a CubeSat company, is Astroscale. Astroscale, they just signed a contract with OneWeb, which launches a constellation of satellites, and we're getting funding from the European Space Agency, because what Astrosail does is it has a deorbiting satellite. And what it wants you to do is you put its capture mechanism on your satellites, and then its deorbiting satellite will come, capture the defunct satellite, and then deorbit it. And so they signed this deal with OneWeb. OneWeb's going to put the capture device on its satellites. Astroscale will launch a space sweeper satellite, which will capture more than one defunct OneWeb satellite and deorbit them in a bulk, getting rid of space junk at the same time. And so this is the kind of future we're looking at. This is how things get built, by not running away from the future, but you expand upon it with freedom, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We've been speaking of space engineering, especially commercial space engineering. We're headed to Mars. where a lot of commercial engineering is also headed, but already on the surface of Mars are rovers, and Bob has an update. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.